Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith Everett here, broadcasting live from the Santa Rosa County Chamber for Pensacola Business Radio. And I am not responsible for what's going to happen here in the next 45 minutes with the crew that I have around this table. But I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So by all means, Jamelyn, go for it.
I am Jamelyn Ruckman. I'm the program supervisor for National Youth Advocate Program.
Awesome.
I'm Sarah Passaro. I'm the therapist for National Youth Advocate Program.
I'm Tammy Byron, and I'm the Santa Rosa District Director for Campfire Gulf Wind, Inc.
I'm Libby Crow, and I do public relations and marketing for Campfire Gulf Wind, Inc.
Have I told either of you about the van story? No?
No.
Okay, don't let me get off air without telling you the van story. I know that sounds creepy, but it's not. So, all right, Jamelyn and Sarah, tell me about the National Youth Advocate Program.
Okay, so we are a national program, as our title implies. We prefer being called NIAP because National Youth Advocate Program's kind of lengthy. We've been operating in the United States for 39 years in 8 different states, and we've been in Florida for 9 years providing enhanced foster care. So that is what we're trying to get going up here in Northwest Florida.
Did y'all just come to the kid in town?
Yep. So we just opened in March. We are a contract agency for Families First Network to provide enhanced foster care. We're the first program up here to start this kind of care for all of Okaloosa, Walton, Santa Rosa, and Escambia counties.
Wow. So how do you know that we need you guys?
So there's always a need for foster parents. We specifically are looking for people who are willing to overlook the challenges that kids have on paper and are really committed to giving them really permanent good homes. We are looking for people to take our kids with a little bit more challenges who need more support. And part of our program is providing that support. We do in-home therapy. We do exceptional supplemental trainings on top of our regular pre-service training to better prepare people. And we have a foster parent liaison as well who works with our families.
So you all take those parents that are those people that want to be parents and then the kids, and then you guys match them up. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And our philosophy at NIAP is that we really try to match families to children, not children to families. So our kids are not there to provide, to fill a need for our families. Our families are there to fulfill a need for our kids. So we really look at what family or what couple or what foster parent is going to do the most to help this particular child grow, become healthy, overcome their challenges, and get to what's next in their lives.
So are there a lot of foster kids in the state of Florida?
There are a lot of foster kids in the state of Florida. One of our great friends at the Guardian Ad Litem program recently did a little post for us. There are about 25,000 kids in
wow.
the state of Florida that are in foster care and only just over 5,000 foster homes. So you look at that.
Yeah, that's a big ratio.
It's a big ratio.
I've got 2. I don't think I could take any more. Really?
I mean, and so you can see, so right now we're with our first set of families, getting them prepared to take their first kids, but you can see the need is great. And that is throughout the state and really throughout the country.
So, you guys getting a warm welcome here pretty much?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody has been so helpful and always wanting to know what they can do, even if they can't foster, how they can help us grow our program and get as many families involved as possible.
Okay. So what can we do if we don't want to foster?
So if you're not able to foster, we can hold events at your business. You can get a group of people who might be interested in fostering together. We'll take people out for coffee or do a lunch and learn for you. Get us out into your church or any civic groups that you're working with so we can do a presentation just to educate the community about the need and what are the requirements to be a foster parent. Lots of people want to do it and they just need that additional information.
So, okay, what she's like, you're lining this right up. What does qualify you to be a foster parent?
So the minimal qualifications is be over the age of 21, be able to pass a level 2 background check, have reliable transportation to be able to take children to and from doctor's appointments, school, those kind of things. And then that you have an income that provides for yourself independent of the stipend. We allow people who are single, married, living in domestic partnerships, people who are older, younger, people who have disabilities, as long as their disability doesn't impact their ability to parent a child and they're willing to take on the kids that we are working with and take our trainings, those people are always welcome to apply.
So if you want to foster a child, I guess you know you want to foster a child, right? So it's how do I know to come find you all to do this kind of work?
we'll take anybody. So say you are thinking about it, but you're not 100% sure. You can call one of us. There's only two people in our office, and we'll take you to coffee.
Is it you two?
It's just the two of us.
And the interns. No, there's three.
And the intern.
All right.
So we'll take you to coffee and answer any questions that you have about what does the training process look like? What does the screening process look like? And if you know you're ready, then it's a conversation of when can we train you? What are the time frames that work for you? Is this the right group for me to be working with? And what type of kids are we able to take? Because we would never force a family to take a child that we didn't think was going to be a good fit, because that just leads to disruptions for that child. And we want everybody to be in a good place.
Yeah.
We really look at long-term stability for these kids. Every change in a placement, every change in a home, moving in and out of communities sets these kids back emotionally. And then they stop growing. So we really look at creating families and prepping our foster parents for long-term care to really become a stable and, you know, nurturing place for these kids.
What about somebody who's never been a parent before, right? So you just decided you want to do this one day. I mean, I know you can fit all the other you know, on paper criteria, but it's like there's a skill level.
Yeah, well, we are working with a couple of different families right now who don't have children, but have been involved with kids, are open to all the training we're providing. I mean, our training is extensive. We go through child development. We go through parenting skills. We go through behavior management. We go through extensive training on understanding trauma. So understanding what these kids specifically have been through. Mm-hmm. And then we provide 24/7 support. So that's our big thing, is we go above and beyond anything it takes for our foster parents, anything it takes for our foster kids.
So when we need to vent or whatever, we can just call you?
I actually encourage it. I'm like, you're going to have days that are tough and you call us and we're going to be there.
And part of the reason we provide so much support is because we know that when we have disruptions happen, when foster parents get frustrated, when kids are not working out in the home and they're getting to that level of like, I can't handle this kid, there's warning signs ahead of time, and we want to make sure we catch them early. Realistically, someone from our organization is out in that house with the child there 2 to 4 days a week. We are in constant phone contact. Mm-hmm. We're 24/7 support from us and our national company. So we want to make sure we're providing that support level so that we don't have these issues. And we do our ongoing trainings as well.
So what are the typical backgrounds that these kids are coming from?
So all of our kids are in foster care. They are kids who have experienced a lot of trauma, kids who have acute medical problems, developmental issues, mental health concerns, behavioral issues, kids who have DJJ involvement, that's Department of Juvenile Justice, who might have probation, who have educational issues. We're taking the kids who are really difficult to place and the kids who need that extra level of support but don't qualify to be in a group home or a medical foster home. That's why we so specially train our foster parents to deal with those issues, because we know those issues exist for kids to qualify for our program.
How did you all know to open up an office here?
Well, I would say Families First Network needs to open it up. And so as we mentioned at the beginning, we provide enhanced foster care. This is not traditional foster care. And Families First Network basically saw a need. We need a higher level of care that's not necessarily this therapeutic Medicaid diagnosis level of care, but we have kids that need additional support, and put out a contract and offered it to us because we are doing it successfully in other parts of the state. We have over 100 homes in other parts of the state and are growing. We've opened numerous offices throughout the state in the last year because what we're doing works. The support we provide our foster parents work. The support we provide our kids work. We're seeing success.
Yeah. Very cool. So how are you guys funded?
So the dollars come from the state. Families First Network has them, and our money comes directly from them based on homes that we're opening and things like that. So,
okay. Are you a nonprofit organization?
We're a not-for-profit.
Not-for-profit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you fundraisers and things like that?
We at this time are not doing fundraisers. We were recently with the Escambia County PTA Association, and they asked what they could do to help us. We need things like fire extinguishers, smoke alarms, locks. Yeah. Those are the kind of things, if people want to make actual physical donations to us, that would help us to set our foster parents up for success. Because there's a lot that goes into prepping your home to be able to be a licensed foster parent. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of things that we're looking for.
So those are all those things we take for granted too, right?
Yep.
So if they have or want to bring those things to you, where can we send them to?
Our physical location is at 1924 North Palafox in Pensacola. We do serve all four counties, and we are always on the road, so we are happy to come to people. And that would be our best way to get is either drop it off or just give us a call and we will come pick them up.
So really, it's just the two of you in this office?
Yes. Right now.
So you got a lot of territory to cover.
We do. Yeah. We do.
So who else could help out organizationally? Who else do you all work with? You say Guardian Ad Litem, right?
Yeah, we have a great relationship with our Guardian Ad Litem program. We've worked with them on some of their events, and they are always telling people about us, which is really good because they directly work with kids in foster care just like we do. And so we make sure that we are always helping each other out. And really, one thing that I have been telling people over and over again, I want our kids in foster care to be a community effort. It's not just our program, and it's not just Guardian Ad Litem, and it's not just Families mm-hmm. First Network, but I want to see this whole community get involved in these kids, that none of these kids in foster care turns into a child that our community throws away or gives up on.
Yeah.
All of these kids are valuable and worth it. And how do we as a community make them a priority?
So you have to have a niche inside of you to do this kind of work. How did the two of you get into this?
I'll go first. So I worked for Denver Department of Human Services for about a year and a half. Before that, I had a master's in social work, worked with a CASA program up in New Jersey, which is our version of Guardian Ad Litem. I really fell into it and just happened to be good at it because my original degree is actually in international studies. So I
just you picked up the accent, isn't it?
The international studies. And I'm from Pensacola. I'm a local girl, and I actually just went through some tough things as a teenager and had a great guidance counselor at Tate High School, shout out, mm-hmm. and put me in touch with a counseling program here. And the relief and the support that I got was so impactful at 16 years old. I knew right then I was going to be working with teenagers. I was going to be working with kids. And so pursued all the education I needed to do that.
Very cool.
Best decision I've ever made.
Awesome. Okay, so if anybody wants to find out any more information, where can we send them to?
So we have a couple of places. So we have National Youth Advocate Program online, which is NYAP.com. We also have our personal cell phone numbers, which is our office numbers right now. So that's 850-380-4679 for myself. And Jamelyn can give you hers real quick.
After 7 months, we still don't know each other's phone numbers.
True.
Mine is 850-380-7041. We also have a Facebook page. It's National Youth Advocate Program Florida.
We also have emails, which is spassaro, P-A-S-S-A-R-O, at NIOP.org, and then jruckman, J-R-U-C-K-M-A-N, at NIOP.org. I do know that one.
See, and that's par for the course, right? We know each other's emails, but we don't know each other's phone numbers.
Yep.
Nobody remembers emails since 2001 when we got smartphones.
Mm-hmm. I remember a couple. I still remember my friends from
growing up
their phone numbers. I remember
the standardized ones.
I still remember the one when I grew up, but the rest of
Was it AOL? It's AOL, isn't it?
No.
It's
no,
a Hotmail?
It was before.
Netscape?
It was before email.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank both of you ladies for coming and hanging out today. And intern, even though you didn't get to talk, man, I'm glad you're here. So stick around for a minute. Let's figure out what they do. Although I think you guys already know, right?
We're excited to learn more.
Always.
Yeah, always.
So I've had both of you in the studio before, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so just lay it on me because I know what it is. But for those listening, what is Campfire?
Campfire is a national organization. We were founded as Campfire Girls in 1910. So we are actually 107 years old, and we are nationally recognized. Everybody remembers the Campfire Girls in the 1970s. We went co-ed because we are so inclusive, and that seemed to be the only group that we didn't include were the boys. So
I don't blame you. Yeah. We're a mess.
So we do have we went as Campfire Boys and Girls for a while, and then Campfire USA. Now we're just plain old Campfire. Our local franchise is the Gulf Wind Council, which initially was a Native American word that meant Gulf Wind, and I can't pronounce it. Nobody else could. So we just went to Gulf Wind. And we've been here since 83. And I've been with the council on and off since 1993.
So, and you say council, so that makes it seem like all big and in trouble and stuff. But you, what do you all do?
Well, Campfire has a multi-pronged delivery system of programs. So we do have traditional clubs that would be the scouting type clubs. They meet weekly. They go on field trips. They earn badges. Mm-hmm. They do that. But we also work with youth development. And so we do have two child development centers, one on the main campus of Pensacola State College, Pensacola State Junior. And that one has, I think, over 100 children ranging from 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Do we go that low? Through school age.
Wow.
And then we also have a summer camp there. Then we have a program, a child development center in Century. And that one has about, 75 or so kids up there, again, going from infant to school age with, and then we have after school sites that we contract with the Escambia School District. So, we have Longleaf, which has over 50 kids there that do after school programs. And, also at Scenic Heights Elementary, we have, 50 slots and a waiting list, I think, at both locations for kids. So,
as well, we have after school care at Pensacola State College and at Century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, then here in Milton, I'm trying to bring programs here to the Santa Rosa community. So we have, in school programs like our interaction. Last year, we were contacted by the Parks and Rec Department and the city of Milton. They were looking for a program for middle school kids after school because there's just no supervision. And
they get out early.
They get out really early. And
thank God I didn't get out that early when I was growing up. Trouble.
And parents just, you know, needed something supervised mm-hmm. for their kids. So we ran an after-school program with the city funded it, and we had kids, middle schoolers. We did our interaction program, which is basically a six to eight week program mm-hmm. once a week, teaching communication skills and non-bullying and I'm losing the word, but the other word that I wanted.
Libby's got all your notes. That's why.
Yeah.
Interpersonal interactions.
Yeah. Interpersonal, both with children talking to adults and adults talking to children. So it's a communication program. We expanded that from an 8-hour program into a 12-hour a week program for 6 months.
So, wow.
And we had a lot of fun. We did field trips.
Service projects.
We did, we tried to do a community garden. However, my black thumb mm-hmm. followed
I have one
us.
Of those. I have two of those, actually.
I'm thinking I got four somewhere. because the seeds did not sprout because I touched them. And the potatoes we were going to do sprouted and then rotted
and then didn't
so you know everything that we tried so the garden was how not to grow a garden but
yeah.
That's part of what we do is our thrivology philosophy, which follows all spectrums of Campfire program, and we're trying to teach growth mindset. So if the garden doesn't work, then let's rake up the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
If this doesn't work, let's continue until we learn, so that we learn to be learners.
Mm-hmm.
And so that with the thrivology and the growth mindset that is involved in all of Campfire programs, we're really excited about bringing that to the Santa Rosa community.
So I've seen a lot of the growth mindset stuff happening mm-hmm. this year in some of the schools as well, too. So it seems mm-hmm. to be you're only bound by your own limits, right?
Right.
And your own thoughts. So mm-hmm. it seems to be a very effective way of approaching learning,
mm-hmm.
right? Or just getting past the barriers that you have skills that you weren't necessarily born with. right?
Right. You know, not everybody is born an innate leader or with that. My dog, when it was born, it knew how to walk, how to, you know, how to fetch, how to do all of those things. But humans don't have that, those kinds of instincts for how to do life. And so that's where growth mindset comes in. And so rather than trying to, especially like with the foster kids, that's why I want to get with Jenna and Sarah real quick, is because those kids are, you know, I'm going to use a non-politically correct term.
It's okay. You won't hurt
anybody's feelings. They're not, but people look at them as throwaways, you know, and they're not. They're children and they have potential and they could find the cure to cancer. They could be, you know, solve global warming. They could be tremendous leaders. Because they've got so much resilience that they have had to do as a survival instinct. So growth mindset and campfire programs with children, it doesn't have to be foster care kids, but it's a perfect match there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, even with a youth group, we've got, you know, with church groups or, after school programs or that kind of stuff, we can still do these growth mindset lessons. We have I'm Peer Proof, which is an anti-bullying. We have I'm Taking Care, which is a babysitting course for those that are 11 and older. I'm going blank. I'm Safe
Teens
and Sure.
in Action.
Teens in Action. So these are all different besides the interaction. Those are all programs that we can bring into the community and into different youth services.
Yeah. So, okay. So what do you all have coming up? Because I know you're very active throughout the year. And then I know last time I think I talked to you all, it was around Christmas because you were doing the wreath or the tree sale thing.
Well, the campfire parade of trees is coming up. On November 13th to 18th, we'll be selling professionally decorated artificial trees as well as a large collection of Christmas decor.
You're going before Thanksgiving this year, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the time and place are still being negotiated as we speak, probably.
Yeah, actually this morning.
Yes. But it is always a fun event. It gets you really in the Christmas spirit. And on our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram feeds, we will have the pictures of the trees and we'll have information about where the actual event is going to be once we nail that down.
And this is where people get to bid on them, right? And how
yes,
that works?
Yes. I believe that's the way it's always done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit different. So they may be able to just come up and purchase.
Okay.
Well, so, I know the Christmas decor items.
Yeah.
They're not going to be auctioned. They're going to be
for sale.
For sale. Just very straight cool. up for sale. But even before that, we've got our little fundraiser where we sell our wonderful candy and our s'mores ornaments. And I just personally love this, but from October.
I've had some of the candy. It's actually really good.
Oh, yeah. October 16th to 31st, we're going to be selling peanuttles, and they are peanuts, which have a nice, crunchy, butter toffee coating to them.
And they last about 5 minutes in my
they
office.
They are addictive. They are addictive.
And I had planned to bring some, but I left my keys in my other
car.
That's
okay. You can mail it. I'll accept packages.
And we'll also be selling these wonderful Christmas ornaments. They are clear plastic. You can pop them apart because inside is one marshmallow, 2 graham crackers, and a little bit of Hershey's, and you can make s'mores with them. And then you can fill the plastic ball back with some mementos of this year and glue it back together, and then you've got this year's Christmas ornament. And it's wonderful.
Take the s'more out first, though, right?
Yeah. Take the s'mores out first and have s'mores with the whole family.
Then take pictures of eating the s'mores.
Yes,
and
right.
Put them in the.
So you can get any of that from any of our campfire locations, but mostly from headquarters, all of it. They'll take your order if you go to Campfire PSC or Campfire Century, and they'll send it to us, and we'll get the candy. All the candy's going to be at headquarters on 1814 Creighton Road. So that's where you'd want to go. We are going to also be launching interaction within some of the schools as the semester goes along. And we're really, really excited about that.
So what does that mean? You all are going to be present during the school days?
Right. Mm-hmm. Our program director, Kevin, will either teach the class himself or teach one of the faculty how to teach it. And I believe it starts this week at the Lutheran mm-hmm. private school.
Yeah, because didn't you go yesterday
yes.
and taught
yes.
it? And, you know, when he did a fantastic job with the Lutheran school. And then there was another school, the one that had a, they went, jumped into interaction wholeheartedly. And their faculty and actually the vice principal taught the program. And it was just a phenomenal success. I wish I could remember which school it was at.
Christian something.
Yeah, one of the Christian schools. But it was awesome. And so they're doing that again this year with their eighth graders, and I think they're going to take it down to their seventh graders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, that's good. Yeah. So it's gaining some popularity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because the interaction is the communication mm-hmm. portion. So, yeah. So that there's less frustration with the kids if they know how the different communication styles.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're from teacher to teacher have different communication styles, from parent to parent, and other family members and neighbors. And that's where middle school is also one of those places where kids just kind of, they're making that transition.
Yeah.
And it's tough on some kids.
Yeah. Sixth grade in my household was not fun
mm-hmm.
for one of them. This year, the other one's kicking butt.
Because
she learned watching the sister, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So... If people want to help out or donate, or because I know you all are publicly funded, is that correct?
Yeah, we are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We do charge fees for the child care, mm-hmm. And
do our fundraisers.
We do our fundraisers. We had the Festival of Trees and the car mm-hmm. show in the spring that we'll do, and
we have had the interaction program was also partly funded by a grant from New York Life for the national.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And congratulations, by the way, too, because that's not an easy thing to get.
Yeah. Our national kicks butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they provide us with a lot of ongoing training and cutting edge. We have webinars with Harvard professors and people who are recognized in their industries and in their ways. And it is all geared towards providing campfire staff, campfire programs.
Which is all research based.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's phenomenal.
Well, and so, to have been around for 100 years plus, right? Obviously
yeah.
it's working,
mm-hmm.
you know? Okay. So if anybody's interested in any more information, where can we send them to?
All right. You can follow Campfire National and Campfire Gulfwind on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On Instagram, it's Campfire Gulfwind, all one word, for our council.
And it's GULF, not GOLF. I've had somebody try to send me email that way.
Oh,
so
that is a good point. On Twitter, it's CF Gulfwind and Campfire NHQ for national. On Facebook, we're CF Gulfwind and Campfire NHQ. Campfire also has a wonderful blog. You just go to campfire.org and click the link for the blog. They have been following some themes for the last few months, and we have been following along and posting with the themes. Just for example, in August, the emphasis was on developing sparks. Simply put, sparks are things that you both love to do and want to do. They're the passions that give kids and adults their motivation
mm-hmm.
and their purpose. So we did a lot of postings on sparks. This month, it's on the growth mindset. And we're posting an awful lot of tips and tricks for teaching your child how to say, not say, I can't do it, but mm-hmm. say, I can't do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
because everything is hard before you learn to do it.
Sure.
So next month will be communication, but communication with emphasis on promoting Bully Prevention Month, which is the entire month of October. And in November, it will be Campfire Strong. So you can follow along with us on that. Where our headquarters is at 1814 Creighton Road in Pensacola.
And our Milton office is at 5590 Byram Street here in Milton.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it more than the two of you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Okay. So if you get to that level, you need more than two. Okay.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you all for coming out and hanging out today. And when we get off the air here, I'm going to tell you the van story. So you can find us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Pecola VRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.